So we'll review a little bit from yesterday, and then I think I will do the channel spiel. If I think of what's the most important thing for you guys, it's try to do yoga every day. And then we said four reasons yesterday. What were they? Give me any one.
Makes your day better.
Yeah, because if you open your channels, that will change your day.
Right?
Well, four ways to get yourself to be yoga.
Use a DVD, okay?
Don't be shy about it. You know, like, you feel stupid following a DVD. That's okay. You know, it feels like, you know, workout. Jane Fonda doesn't work out. But it's okay, it works, okay? It gets you to do your yoga. What was another one?
Social.
Yeah, make it a social event, you know? It's... Our country's strange, you know, like the only social things you do are you eat or you go to a movie, right? And I think we have a lot of fun, our little group of people. Somebody will drive up from Phoenix and we'll go out to yoga somewhere. And then we stuff ourselves afterwards. and it's really enjoyable. It's really a nice way to spend the day. And, you know, there's one more, I don't remember.
Tired.
Oh yeah, when you feel tired, instead of, you know, our cultural thing is to eat something or to take a nap, and then you can do some yoga. Even if you're just by yourself, do three poses. And then you feel really fresh and you feel really interested, and you can, you know, you can continue with your work instead. I think a nap kind of ruins your day, you know, like you take a half hour and then it cuts you off in an hour. Or you eat a lot of junk food and then you feel guilty for a couple hours. So try those. I think that my job, it's not so much to show you the yoga, it's to get you to do that. That's harder. It just has to become a habit. Sharon Gannett says, like, brushing your teeth, right? So you just be doing things. And then it's got to be interesting, right? So personally, I like to have lots of different DVDs. And, you know, I feel today like working hard. And today I feel like relaxing. Like, I'll make you a list, okay? Like, Ronnie Yee is really good. I like Ronnie Yee. You can get him in Barnes & Noble. He was a ballet dancer. And he's very graceful. And he's very calming, the movements are very beautiful. And then Anna Forrest is when you want to do 2 hours of yoga, and she's like Hitler, she's really bad. I was in her class in Hong Kong, and she had us in Asana, right? And then she said, "Now walk across the room." I was scraping my head, and she did it in front of like 300 people. She's like, "Actually, Michael, don't do it that way. You'll get balder." what's her name? Jiva Hunty's good. There's a nice, I don't know, how many? 10 or 12 cities? And they're very, that's like an intermediate thing, you know, that's nice. I like the, what's her name? Janet Stamos and that. And, you know, I have a sheet of array, but I never used it. David Swanson is kind of hardcore. I'll make you a list. Don't use Jiva Mukti's yoga for busy people, because they made it longer. It was an inside joke. You put it on because you think you're gonna have a half hour yoga. And it was really funny, they made it longer and harder than that. So don't use that. I'm gonna give you the channel shtick, just because it gets into some heavier stuff. We'll be talking about it in the other class, but we have something around 150 cities that either want DCI or have asked for DCI or we're working there. We can do I don't know how many cities in a year. We can only do I don't know how many? 10?
7.
How many are we doing now? How many cities are you doing per year now? I don't know.
7.
Yeah? It must be more than that.
Culture retreats.
Full programs, maybe 7. Visiting 15 to 20 cities. We have requests from 150 cities. And we can't go back to them, the ones that we do go to. So we need people to help. We need more help. And so we made a program that I'll talk about later, but it was like you adopt a city, you know, and then you... You help, like she's doing, Ami's doing, so like, just for 2 nights of talks, right? But she's preparing for like months. And so she adopted Zurich, because she lived there for a while before. And but you don't have to speak the language or anything, blah, 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 blah. And I'd like to do that. So when you go to those cities, when you teach Niguma, we teach Niguma to everybody. Everybody, like, Christine Walsh was teaching it in Guangzhou and Zhuhai in China. And those people, they're like what? Middle-aged executive women in big companies and TV stations and stuff like that. They're all in the late 40s or something. And when we first met them, when she and I first went there, they were, you know, they were a mess. They were really exhausted and tired and overweight and unhappy and greedy. And then she went for, I don't know, a couple months. And we worked on that. Now they do Niguma every day. They have a ladies group. They do Niguma every day. And they look fantastic. Vivi, she looks like 25 years younger. And her mind has changed. You know, she was really greedy when I first went. She was like, wanted contracts for selling Yoshi Michael dolls. And now she's like, no, last time we went, she refused her money. She didn't take the money last time. She just changed. Her whole nature has changed. And that's something that you can give to people. So, I don't know, Christine learned Niguma a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago. And then she just started quietly doing it every day at home. And she had physical things going on before that, like really serious arthritis. And now she teaches in China. And she's like your latest Chinese dissident. We won't talk about that. Her crowds got too big. She was, and then they kicked her out for a while. She was up to 800 people.
Wow.
And they asked her this. To cool it for a while. But anyway, so if you learn Niguma and you learn the theory behind it, then you can really help people. And we need help. So we'll be talking about it, but you can take a city. We have lots of cities that don't have a representative. And then you represent that city and you organize the events there. And you can help, you can help people. You can do like Christine Walsh is doing. It's amazing. It's really cool. She had talks with 500 people. And she talked to me about it. So I'm going to, this is the spiel. This is the Niguma Yoga spiel. We won't go too long because I know you want to do yoga. Maybe 15 minutes. So, Niguma lived 1,000 years ago. We'll talk about her. Maybe we can talk about her life from there. But her text on yoga, which wasn't written down until the 1500s, I think. Yeah. 1400s. Is the oldest text on yoga there is. So the oldest text in the world, even older than Abhivatandika, is by Lady Niguma. And she had this extraordinary insight into the inner body. So, and how yoga affected the inner body. And I thought we could talk about that today a little bit. So some of you heard this already, but I think it's, if you heard it and you already know it, then then learn how to teach it. Because we're going to call on you. You're going to have to take a city and you're going to have to go do this. So there are 72,000 channels. They are physical, but they're subtle physical, made of light. And then inside of them travels a special energy called prana in Sanskrit. In Chinese?
Qi.
Qi. And then in Japan?
Qi.
Qi. In Japan?
No.
Say
no. No.
Yeah, okay. So the most important one starts, there are three most important channels. It starts here, under the skull. And that's called the, what? In Sanskrit, Sushumna, or, I don't know, Shunyapata, the path of emptiness, or Madhyamaka, the middle way. There's lots of names for it. Avaduti. In Tibet, called Tsaruma, okay, in China. Dongmai. And there's a channel that goes like this under your skull, comes out from under your skull, passes in front of your spine, down to your groin, okay, and then terminates at your sexual organ. And that's called the central channel. When prana is moving through the central channel, you feel happy. And you are more intelligent. And you have a greater capacity for love. Okay, those three things, like a sense of well-being, and a very large capacity for love. And you can also think more clearly. And when all the prana moves in the central channel, you can see into the stars. Okay, so when you do a yoga class and you come out and you feel better for a while, it's because some small amount of prana has entered the sushumna, the central channel. Then we have two other channels on the side. In the monastery they use rosaries. And it's cute to see Geshe Thupten Rinchen with three rosaries. You know, and he's using his teeth. I like to use teeth. I think you should learn to do it with a laptop cord or a cell phone cord. Because people relate to it all over the world. People find it cool. If they like it, they feel happy when you pull out cords and start using them. So on the left side, here, starting here, the termination point is here, is another channel called Ida. Which means Ida is an old Sanskrit word for sheep. Because most sheep are white. So this channel is a white color, milky white color. And it comes up, follows the central channel down, and then down to the same place. Then the Ida goes down the middle of the, it goes down the inside of the leg, the left leg, down to the bottom. Then I like to teach it this way, okay? Think about it this way. When I like to go to Starbucks. Even when I was in three-year retreat, I used to dream about Starbucks. And all the time. And in three-year retreat, I missed people, you know? I missed having people around. I grew up in a big family, and it was hard. And then when I got out, I enjoyed going to coffee shops, you know? Like, everywhere we go, we're in Beijing, we went to coffee. We drove for quite a while to get to a Starbucks. You know, and I like to sit there and watch the people, because I miss people. And I watch the people, and I try to learn some Chinese. So, I enjoy watching the people. And I like hot chocolate. I like that hot chocolate. So then, I'm sitting there, and I'll order one hot chocolate. I'll sit down at my computer. I'll start translating something like your class. And I'll watch people. And then after a while, I'll have a biscotti, right? And when you're drinking the hot chocolate and while you're eating the biscotti, you feel a sense of well-being, right? You feel, like, happy. Then where's the prana flowing? Sun is flowing through the central channel, Tsa'uma. You are having some prana flowing through the central channel. And you feel some sense of well-being, right? And your mind is clear. No, you're working good on your computer. Translating well. Everything's fine. Then, I don't know, you stay on the computer too long. Which for me is like an hour and a half. I have a timer. You should get that, by the way, but I'll show you. It's a nice gong that goes on. So like an hour and a half, if I go over an hour and a half on the computer, it makes me, I don't know, it changes the prana. It messes up the prana, something about the magnetic waves, I don't know, and the speed at which you're moving. So then over an hour and a half, I start to get a little, what do you call it? Hyper. Then I'm like, oh, I need another hot chocolate, and I need another biscotti. So you go and you get another hot chocolate and another biscotti. You sit down. You want it, right? You feel this craving. It's a craving. You don't need it. You're not hungry. That's the trick, right? You're not hungry. And you're not thirsty. You could just drink water, You could buy kiwi, right? Fiji, sorry. But you get this craving. When you have worked too long on your computer, and you start to get a craving for sugar or something like that, prana has moved from the center to the left side. I like to call the inner the Starbucks channel. When I'm in China, they call Shimbuka, right? Starbucks is Shimbuka. So I said, this is the Shimbuka, this Jiangmei Shimbuka. Then when you want something, unreasonably, then the prana shifts to the left side. And it starts traveling through the left-hand channel. Then you work for a while, and then you realize you've eaten two biscottis and you had too much chocolate, and then you're like, oh man, this is going to make me fat. Now my pants will be too tight. And you feel upset. Now I'm going to get fat. And when you feel upset, then you need another... hard time because you feel bad and you want to feel better. So, you're right, when you feel sad or upset about being overweight, then you want more. And then you go to the counter and you say, I need a third hot chocolate. And in every country, whatever the person behind the counter is, they're like, you sure? And you're like, yeah, I need change. And a third biscotti also. And then they're like, I don't know, we were in Shanghai, and they dig around, we were in the Starbucks, and they dig around and they say, no more biscotti. And then you're like, what? And then you're like, this is the only successful American company left. And you don't have biscotti? That's your job. You're supposed to have biscotti. That's what you do. And you get all upset at this Chinese lady, And she's like, I'm sorry, no biscotti. And you're like, damn. Then all the prana move to the right side, okay? This is called pingala, right? Pingala means reddish color. The word pink comes from that. Right? And then... sometimes called the sun channel, right? Sometimes this is called the moon channel, right? So sun in Sanskrit, one of the words is ha, and one of the words for moon is ta. So ha ta, you gotta turn your tongue back. Ha-ta. If you turn your tongue back, you are automatically speaking. We have lots of reflection. Ha-ta. Ha-ta means sun and moon, right? These two channels. And then when you can't get the one that you really wanted, all the prana shifts over to the right side. And then you feel upset. You feel angry. This is like on your trap. You're in traffic, and somebody cuts you off. I don't know. I get really angry around bad driving. I don't know about you. Then I feel, it's like the only place I feel pretty angry sometimes. So then all that prana has moved over to here. Right? Then unfortunately this one, the side channel comes up. Let's say the Starbucks channel comes up and it crosses under the central channel and then it comes back, okay? And then on the other side, here's the Verizon thing. Okay, on the other side, their anger channel comes out and also crosses over. So you get a knot here. At this spot in your under your skull is a knot called a granthi in Sanskrit, right? And when you want the biscotti really bad, the product goes into this channel. It gets wider and it chokes the central channel. Okay, which means you are less capable of being happy. You are less capable of love. And you're less capable of rational thought. Which is why you ordered the third one. No, I'm not kidding. You see, this is very important for business people. You know, like, if your mind goes to food, or if your mind gets angry, in a business, see, we teach business to all these people, in a business situation, then you start to make mistakes in your strategy and your operations and things like that. So, it chokes here. And prana is a set quantity in the body. So if prana moves to the left channel, it must come out of this channel. It has to come out of the middle channel. There's not enough prana to fill all three channels at the same time. So then this knot forms. Then that's true even in the womb. Okay, even in the womb, in the first month, there's texts in Tibet about the formation of the inner channels during the gestation process in the womb, during the 9 months in the womb. And they describe the formation of the central channel. So that at that time, it's only like half an inch long in the first month of pregnancy. So then the central channel starts to form as soon as consciousness enters the womb, which is at conception. And then it's cool. Then even in the womb, the baby is thinking it's uncomfortable in here. You know, they don't have, what do you call them? Sophisticated language thoughts, but they have the capacity to say, ha, uncomfortable, constricted, mom's moving, or she just ate a really hot taco. They say they can feel those things, and they're aware. And then the side channels start to form, the two side channels, because they get upset, or they want something. And then those twist around the central channel, and they begin the first knot, the heart at the heart. So that's the first knot to form. There's just three sticks and a knot in the middle. And that's who you are at that point. It's very interesting. And then when prana tries to flow through the central channel, it gets stuck because there's a knot there. And it's like a garden hose. If you had a kink in a garden hose, and you kept increasing the volume, the pressure, then at some point it would split, right? There would be splits along the length of the hose. And so at the granthis, even during gestation in the womb, the central channel splits. At the heart it splits into four rents, right? Four slits appear. And then channels start to spread out horizontally. Okay. So one channel goes forward, one back, and one to each side. And then and then those split into two. And then those are called, that's a chakra. A chakra is forming. Okay. Why is it called chakra? If you look down a person's spine, if you stand above a person and look down the axis of their spine, you will see channels radiating out to the sides, like a wagon wheel. So those are called chakras. Then chakras are a sign of a granthi, right? A knot forms because of your negativities. Emotions, a knot forms. And then chakra splits out from there. Chakras split out horizontally from there. And you have seven, right? One, two, three, four, five. In the monastery, if you point to the front, you get in trouble. They'll hit you with a rosary, you know? They'll whip you. So if you say heart chakra, they get really upset. You have to say heart chakra, okay? Because it's right in front of your spine. So you have seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And uh, after the chakra forms, around that knot, the flesh starts to harden. Okay? And then as it gets harder, it becomes bone. And around the chakras, you get the formation of the largest bones of the body. Okay? So these two, you have the formation of the skull. C7, cervical 7, you have the this prominent vertebra here is caused, according to this idea, by the knot at the back of the neck. Okay? And then the rib cage, this large set of bones, segmented with cartilage. These are created by the heart chakra. Okay, the knot at the heart chakra, which is more serious. There's a triple tie there. And then at the navel and the lower spine and the groin, and that creates the hip bone. The largest bone in the body, I think, right, doctors? Largest bone in the body?
In the pelvis.
Yeah. So anyway, in this idea of chakras, in this idea of the formation of that external body because of the inner body, the bones form because of the knot. Okay? Those major bones follow the formation of the knot, which are constrictions of prana caused by your negative emotions. Okay? And then skin and flesh form from that. And then you gotta remember this, okay? This is crucial. We were in Beijing and it was very moving. We got to this point in the talk. You know, they all grew up without permission to hear these things, right? And then we said, that's what makes you mortal. You know, that's what gives you a body of flesh and blood. And then that body must die. You know, once you have bones and flesh and skin, you can eat vitamins, you can do yoga, you know, but still it will kill itself. The nature of those structures is that they kill themselves, right? The bone can't last forever, the skin can't last forever, and you will die. And that mortality in this Indiguma system is caused by those three channels being tied up. So that's very interesting, and the people in China were so into it because they believe in they have that culture, but it was suppressed, right? So they were like so into it, and then Niguma said in her text, which is still extant, and we translated it. It has two great sections. We haven't got to the second section yet, which is another story for another day. But the first series of Niguma Yoga is based on, she said, let's untie the knot. Okay? She said, let's use yoga to untie the knot. And that was why they did yoga. That was the goal of yoga, was to untie those knots. Then she said, there should be four poses at each chakra, right? At each chakra, we will do four actions at each chakra. So right now the knots are, to put it simply, it's like that, right? So she said the first pose, she said you should go from each chakra to the next. And it's a very famous, it's a Chimone Dumana Nagawa, Dumana Niga Lapana Choga, Niga Deva Lapana Kiega, Deva Nobutsa Lapana, Lengiki Yeshikebi Deva, the Domini Yubi, Tingizena Yumar Shikso. Very famous, very, very famous. She said, move chakra by chakra. Don't skip chakras. Move up the chakras in the order. And then at each chakra, you should perform four asanas, right? Four poses. What would be the first one? Yeah, you should perform a twist, okay, at that chakra. So then it looks better, but it still doesn't look great, right? Then what's the second? Yeah, the second asana should be a stretching motion, right? So first you're doing a twist to loosen the knot, and then you're doing a stretch to straighten the channels, especially the two side channels, right? Then you should do, okay, these three channels, they don't connect here. They connect four finger widths below the navel in the back, okay? Why don't they say inches? Why do they say finger width?
They
This is the Chinese medical way of measuring each person's body, because that's specific to your body. 4 inches is not going to be the same for maybe, you see, your fingers, if your body is smaller, will be smaller, and it'll be bigger and bigger. And it's a nice system. It's called Sun. Shitsun. Four finger widths below the navel in the back. There's a connection of the three channels. Okay, that's where the prana can move to the right channel when you are angry that you didn't get your third discardi. Or it can move to the left channel as you are planning your second and third discardis. Okay, that's where it moves. Okay, so the third asana at each channel will be some kind of sucking motion to introduce prana into the central channel, out of the two side channels. Once you straighten the side channels, then prana can move out of them into the central channel. And that happens here. Then their fourth asana would be some kind of like distribution. This is a classic fourth asana, okay, for the hand, for the channels of the hand. But it would be to try to spread the prana up the length of the central channel, okay? And then, so what happens? You know, what's the goal? By the way, two places here and here, you can't twist. So you just put pressure, acupressure, right? So you, here you introduce the heel and you push into it with the heel. So watch what happens when you put pressure on a knot. Is it will do the same thing, you see. So here also you would do a headstand. So what's the end result, you know? What are you working for? When you go to a yoga class and you do the exercises without regard to the order of the chakras, without regard to the order of the poses, there'll still be some opening and you will feel happier. After class you feel a little a buzz, right? If you're into yoga, it's kind of like marijuana, I guess. But you feel, I used it when I was in college, nonsense. But you feel somehow a sense of well-being. That means a slight opening of the central channel, okay? And it's very addicting. It's like, what do you call that? It's some kind of, what do you call it? Endorphins, yeah. Okay, it is, I guess. But our goal, see, what's our goal in the yoga? What are we trying to do? We would like to open, if you can release the blockage on the main channel, then we say you would see emptiness directly. And a normal person only gets major amounts of prana into the central channel twice in their life, in two occasions in their life. One is an orgasm. Okay? Major amounts of prana are moving through the central channel during orgasm. The height of orgasm. Slightly. Quickly. And then it closes up worse than before. Not a preferred method. The knot's released. Urine is released, feces is released, blood is released from the nose, and then you have a slight insight into emptiness. It's called clear light, the clear light of death. So in the moment of death, you have some prana is introduced into the central channel, and you have some. It affects your perceptions. Then a yogi or a yogini is trying to have that happen purposely. They're trying to introduce prana into the central channel consciously by their yoga practice, through their yoga practice. Okay. So the short-term goal is a sense of well-being. Medium-term goal is to see emptiness directly. Along with that come cities, right? I mean, the mind is open. You can tell the future. You can... Like for a business person, it's very useful. You can see which way the market's going. You have what they call instincts, but they're not instincts. They are foresight caused by the opening of the central channel. And I think every great creative person has some of that. And whether they're in business or art or music or stock market. You see, they have some opening in the central channel which allows them to perceive in a limited way the future. Okay? Then ultimately, what would be the ultimate goal? You actually open the channels completely, and the knots are released completely, and the side channels withdraw into the central channel, and they disappear. And then you are only a central channel. And then there's no foundation for the existence of bone and flesh and skin. So it reverts back to its original condition, which is light. So you originally, you were a being of light. And you were, that's what you were. And then you got upset. And then you wanted another biscotti. And that created bone, you see? It's very interesting. It's a very interesting way of viewing the human condition, right? Then you can reverse it through this. The ultimate goal of this yoga is to reverse that condition and return the body to its original condition, which is life. So what's... Now, I always think somebody... When my Lama taught me this, I don't know why I have this intense vision of walking through Times Square with neon, all neon. And I thought it would really fit there. And then the Lama was like, well, why would you want to be made of light? Because then you can split yourself. You can clone. A light body can be manifested in multiple locations at the same time. You see, like a mirror, like light in a mirror, in multiple mirrors, you see. So then you could take care of people and you wouldn't need DCI representatives. One person could cover all 150 cities, you see. And then everybody else could go to a different planet. Okay? That's the idea, that you could serve more people if you weren't physical. If you were made of light, you could serve. Then all those pictures in this, all those, I would say in Mira, Mexico City, the most beautiful angel, right? In the middle of the city, huge, huge statues of angels down the main boulevard, everywhere. And then you go to France and in Paris, they have these huge statues of angels on the River Seine, like on the bridges. And then you go to, you know, China, and there's Guan Yins everywhere. And they all look the same. And we say if you trace back through the artists, somebody saw an angel, right? Maybe not the most recent guy, but he's copying another statue. But if you keep going back in statues, sooner or later you hit somebody who saw the real thing. And that, it's kind of, for me, very comforting throughout the world, evidence of angels, of angelic bodies. So it has been done. People have gained those bodies. And that's why we're doing yoga. Now we have to do yoga. Okay. But just remember that. And in China, when we were in Beijing and we got to this part, you felt this wave go through the room like, you know? That feels good. To have that said in a room, just have it said openly in a room, which they couldn't do for so many years. And they're just this wave of emotion went through the room. And I didn't mean to go there, you know, but it just got there. And it was really nice. So anyway, as you do yoga, think about that. Lady Niguma was insistent that that was the purpose of yoga. Okay, so now we got to do some yoga fast. Tomorrow I'll try to do the whole thing, okay?
Yeah, of course.
As far as the yoga mat, the back can be up against something. The front should have some clearance. Okay? Did you hear me okay yesterday?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Should you come to the front of your mat? Exhale, hands down, palms flat. Inhale, palms up. Exhale, join palms in the back. Inhale, palms down, left foot back, left knee down. Stretch the groin, look up. You get one of the stretches in the back. Next is going to be a plank, and you're supposed to forward. Come on, easy on your shoulder. Knee, chest, and chin. Cobra. Okay, cobra, ready? Punch your shoulder. Bring your shoulders to your ear. And then back. And then come up in the corner. It protects your shoulders, okay? Down dog. Left foot forward. Right knee down, look up. Right foot forward, clasp in the back, heads up, clasp in the back again, hands down, right foot back, right knee down, look up, look forward, left foot back, look forward, now you don't have to look up, it's just look forward. Knees, chest, and chin. Scrunch your shoulders, push them back. Stretch your shoulder. Push back into down dog. Right foot forward. Look up. Smile. Why do you smile when you come over? It releases the inner pingala. It releases these two knots, okay? You have to smile. If you go like this, then it tightens this mark, okay? All right, left foot forward. Clasp. Hands up. And stay chest. Breathe in. Breathe out, palms back. Hands up. Clasp. Hands down, left foot back, left knee down, look up, smile, look forward, knees tucked in, shoulders up, shoulders back, push back into down dog, left foot forward, right knee down, look up, smile, right foot forward, clasp. Hands up. Clasp again. Hands down, right foot back. Right knee down, look up. Look forward. Don't let your back sink, and don't let your butt go into a mountain. Try to stay straight. You look down your body, you can see. If you're straight or not. Knees chest and chin. Shoulders up and then back. Smile. Down dog. Right foot forward. Look up. Left foot forward. Clasp. Hands up. And see your chest. Come down to see it. Left foot forward. We're working on the first chakra, main Muladhara. Okay? We can't twist it, so we have to put pressure on it. Don't sit on your heel, but do press it in. Boys have to lift up the equipment, okay?
That gets a big laugh in China. I don't know. First of all, I'm going to tell you, like... see if you can bend at your hips and not at your lower back. Okay? Well, especially those of you who have lower back problems. It's because you're crunching it. Okay? So maybe you can only go down this far if you really twist at your, if you really bend at your hips rather than in your lower back. So move it down about 3 or 4 inches and bend at the hips. And don't bend at the lower back. Hold for 5, 4, 3, 2. You should feel a stretch along your hamstring, right? Mm-hmm. Come up. Switch legs. See if you can feel the difference, because you'll save yourself like 2 or 3 years of trouble. Okay, really. Don't bend here. Don't bend here, bend down here. See if you can. And maybe you can't go down more than that. That's okay. If you feel an intense stretch here, that's what you want. You don't want to feel some kind of pain in your lower back. And that's the goal, is just to stretch the back of the leg, not the back. Not the, that lower spine. Maybe you can't go down. Usually when you look good in yoga, you're doing the wrong thing. Really, because people are all intent on looking good, right? Okay, come up. Barakamati. We just finished unshorting the knot. Now we are stretching those chest. Let's sit up straight. Consciously try to bend at your hips and not at your lower back. Okay? You can't go very far, and it's better. Hold for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on. Drop your mat. Put your weight. If you try to jump back from here, it's hard. Put your weight a little over your shoulder. And then 1. Down dog. And then come to sit it and come to lie down in your back. So now we're going to do the first two poses for the Svadhisthana Chakra. Place your left foot on your right thigh. Grab your left knee with your right hand. Raise your left arm. Open your knee to the right. Open your left arm to the left. Try to gaze towards your left arm. If you suck in your belly, it'll release the lower back. You'll feel your lower back will feel better. Bring your knee up, stand your leg. Bring your leg down slowly. Bend your right knee. Place the foot on the thigh. Grab your right knee with your left hand. Raise your right arm. Right arm goes to the right, knee goes to the left. Look towards your right hand. Don't push too far, just hang. Let it hang. Suspend it. Suspend it. Try to draw your navel towards your spine. Try to draw your belly button towards your spine. And it loosens the lower back. There's no crunch on the lower back. Right knee up. Interlace your fingers under your right thigh. Bring yourself up to sitting. Then again, try really hard, especially if you have a lower back problem. Try really hard to bend here, and don't bend here. Just try to bend at the hip crease, and not at the lower back. It's a big difference, and you won't go very far. Okay, ready? Here we go. That's enough. Feel it in the back of your legs, and not your lower back. then you're doing it, then you're opening the channel. If you bend your lower back and you curve it, you can go down further, but it doesn't help you. It doesn't open the channel. There's one muscle, one, what do you call it? Network of muscles that goes from your back of your heel to the to your forehead. And you're stretching it. Release, come up. We'll do a vinyasa. Don't forget, when you go down from plank, where's your head? Yeah, look ahead. Okay? Don't look down. You look ahead. Much easier on your shoulder. Left foot forward. Right knee down. Look at your right hand. Keep your eye on your right hand. Don't let the eye fall off of your right hand. Draw your palms at your chest. Gaze at the ceiling. Let your head relax back. Don't hold it as if it's on a pillow. Hold for 5, 4. Suck your navel towards your spine. Hands down to the floor. Right foot forward. Suck your navel towards your spine. Don't bend at your lower back. Try to bend at your hips. You won't be able to go very far. That's okay. Feel it in the backs of your legs and not in your back. Hold for 5, 4, 3. Two, one. Left knee to the floor. Stare at your left hand. And keep the eye contact on your left hand. Then look at the ceiling. Let your head drop back. Draw your belly button towards your spine. Navel towards your spine. Breathe deeply. And keep a soft face. Hands down. Left foot forward. Bend your knees. Let your torso rest on your thighs. Place your hands under your feet. Let go of your head. Let your head go. The head is 30 pounds of hard wood. let it hang. Don't try to hold it up. And then slowly try to straighten your legs. Don't bend in the lower back, bend at the hips. Hold for 5, 4. Three, 2, 1. Release, come down to sitting. We covered the first two movements on the first three chakras. Okay? Which brings us to the Anahata. An means not. Like anemic. And then Ra means very much. Hata means struck with a gong, like a. It means the heart is beating without a drum, without being struck. Anahata. Okay? Not me, not put over the right side. Right hand to the sky. Right elbow behind it. If you can't do that, you can just hug it and look over your left shoulder. Either way. Try to tack your navel to your spine.
Concentrate on that. Don't worry about the twist. Try to bring your navel closer to your spine. And don't look so serious. Okay? I don't know why people look serious during yoga. I don't know. I guess it's supposed to be serious? No? Alright. Release, counter twist. Switch your feet. Left arm to the sky. Then look over your right shoulder. Try to look at something over your right shoulder. Concentrate on bringing your navel to your spine. Suck your navel towards your spine. Then the twist will come. Breathe deeply. When you're in a twist and you have to breathe deeply, you have to increase your rib cage, right? You have to expand your rib cage. You won't be able to do it with your diaphragm, I mean with your abdomen. Release and twist to the other side. And I'd like you to come to standing. You bring your right foot back. Left foot is facing forward. And we'll go into a warrior two with your palms up. Try not to lead your torso over your left leg. Let your torso come back towards your right leg. Okay. Try to push with your right foot forward. And that takes care of bending the left knee. But you don't have to think about the left knee. Try to bring your torso back over your hips. And it helps to find a point of gaze, right? Straighten your left leg. Change your feet. And then down with your... Push against your left foot forward. Push forward against your left foot. If you know about tucking your tailbone, tuck your tailbone. 5. Don't look so serious. 4. You're allowed to smile. 3. I'll probably beat you if you don't smile. 2. 1. Straighten your right leg. Shorten your stance. Bring your feet closer together. Left arm up to the sky. Tack your bicep on your ear. Don't lose the contact. And then bend to your right side. You can open your right foot. Look towards the ceiling. Relax your face. It's almost over. 5. 4. Feel the stretch on your left side. The ida is being open. The left hand channel is being open. If you have a problem with wanting to eat too much, you could stay longer here. Seriously. Let your left arm go. Bring your right arm up. Tack it to your right ear. Open your left foot towards the front of the mat. And come down. Stretch your right side. Stretching the pingala, you'll be less upset when they don't have this card. Really? Stretching the right side. Breathe deeply. And come up. Then we're going to plant our hands on either side of the left foot, right? But I don't want you to plant them too wide. Okay. More like the width of your shoulders and a little bit less. It's much easier on your shoulders. You're going to mess up your shoulders in time if you don't do these things. Okay, so down, closer to each other than you think. And then release the left foot back, look forward. This also protects your shoulders. Don't like this and not like this. Try to look down your bum and see if it looks straight. Face is forward. And then slowly release to the floor. Arms back. Palms up. On an in-breath, just bring up your chest. Don't bring up your chest. Hold.
In breath again, bring up your chest more. Your hands will slide back. Keep them on the floor. Each in breath, bring the chest up higher. Third in breath, higher. Fourth in breath, higher. Everything's still on the floor except your chest. Then release. Back cheek on your hand.
Take a yoga vacation.
Hands to your side, palms up. Bring your chest up with an in breath. And on the next in breath, raise your hands and your feet. And smile. Five. Now, each in breath, try to bring your chest up. And you bring your shoulder blades together. Two. Smile. One. Release to your right cheek. Flip over onto your back, like a pancake. And we'll do a half shoulder stand to finish the series, okay? I'll come into a half shoulder stand for like 10 breaths or 15. The point is to put some pressure behind your heart. So the place where you feel the pressure should not be your neck. The pressure, you should feel pressure behind your heart. So shift your feet up and back until you feel the point of pressure behind your heart. And relax there. Spread your toes. If you have a plow, you can bring it down into a plow. And then slowly, slowly come down. Vertebra by vertebra. Release your legs to the floor. And then come into final relaxation. Palms are up towards the ceiling. Your feet have fallen out. Rest your mind, close your eyes. Let the prana flow.
Please start to deepen your breath. Take deeper breath. Wiggle your toes and fingers. Wake them up. Stretch your arms over your head. Be careful of your neighbors. And bring your knees to your chest. Hold your knees. And on the count of three, we will all drop to our left. One, two, three, go. Stay in a fetal position. You can tuck your hands under your head. Some people already have a fetal position. Namaste. 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 Namaste.